Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Wait, Steve, David's right. What if we get caught?
We're not gonna get caught, Donna.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 3, Episode, 27, A Night to Remember. And now, here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Tara and Dave.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the baseball conference that was the reason that we are like a week behind where we normally would be and
if
how it
I
went?
Talk about, do you mean apologize?
No.
I can do that. I am sorry, everyone.
I didn't mean to phrase it like that. I just meant since we brought it up the last time we were talking about it, people might want closure on how the conference went for you.
It went very well. It moved this year from Tennessee State University, which is really hard to say.
Yes.
To Ottawa University in Ottawa, Kansas, not like real big boy pants Ottawa.
Right.
they have a brand new student center, and it was like, it was quite fancy.
Yeah.
Like my name was up on like an HD screen in the lobby that was rotating like all the things. And I was like, shit, I don't think my presentation is actually good enough for HD. Like, just put me on some oak tag. I said oak tag drink. It went great, but I'm very sorry that we got off schedule, especially when we had to stretch two of the most boring episodes over 1 week each.
Two, yep.
And now,
oh man,
we're gonna kick you all in the virtual tits with the two most famous episodes of the show. Probably.
I mean,
except for maybe Euphoria, you could make an argument.
Yeah, but. I mean, I Hate You Both is a big one too, and like I Choose Me, there are other ones, but like the fact that these two are back to back is like bananas, because they are both so big. It really is almost like the two episodes before these were like everyone needing to take a break and like gear up for this one. Like those were
so,
just them stretching.
Let's think of my baseball conference week as that we were all hosts and listeners collecting ourselves for this just barrage of 90210-ness.
We were limbering up
a lot.
We were carbo loading. We were, that was just incidentally because I like carbs, but yeah, we were getting ready for this. Oh my God.
Get out your little Gatorade squish packs because it's happening.
Yeah. Also, because we're not going to have a moment to pause in this whole episode, I just want to remind you again, we have several shirts up at Glarkware that will be of interest to fans of this podcast. Mad, Bad, and Dangerous to Know, Don't Be Such a Squeef, and now the brand new Blaze, A Lot of Parents Read It t-shirt. All of them are available in many colors. If you tweet us or Instagram us yourself wearing it, we will publicize that throughout the world with your permission, of course. So check those out at Glarkware, GLARKWARE.com. Let's get into it. A/only story is the prom. Oh my God. Oh, I just hurt my throat doing that. All right.
Oh, boy. Sorry, you got to pace yourself.
I know, I started badly. Okay. After an endless / pointless montage of a West Beverly prom from the 40s or some shit, Donna and Brenda are hanging a banner promoting the prom of 93. And here's where we learn that Brenda doesn't have a date and is pretty sure she's the last person at school in such a situation. So even though she's on the planning committee, she's not going to prom. I guess we're supposed to think this is a big tragedy as opposed to like maybe someone would have asked Brenda if she didn't have such an unpleasant personality. Something to think about. Meanwhile, Brandon has just told Steve he's also skipping the prom because he doesn't have a date, and he's playing poker with Tony Miller instead. And I would say I
gambling.
Hope that's...
Neat.
Oh my God, I didn't even think of that. Yes, good point. Unless
dumb
they're playing
shit
for pretzel sticks. Anyway, I would say that
steroids.
that I hope playing poker with Tony is a euphemism, except I think Tony deserves better. Brandon doesn't think prom is a big deal, and in his case it especially isn't, because as we all know, he does not dance. Not that he says that. But Steve makes a sentimental appeal about the whole gang being together for one of their last high school milestones, and when that doesn't work, clip number two.
I don't know why you just don't break down and ask her.
Who?
Who? Brandon, you don't have to be in love with someone to ask him to the prom. Andrea is part of the gang. She should be there, and so should you. Just go ask her. Brandon, go in there and ask her.
I kind of like the turn that Steve's tone takes at the end of that. Like, quit fucking around.
like, we all know where this is going, so just get on with it.
Seriously.
Well played, Sanders.
Mm-hmm. However, what could be more appealing to Andrea than being Brandon's extremely obvious last-second backup? Oh, wait, that's their relationship in a tiny nutsack. I mean, nutshell. In the Blaze office.
Actually, I'm pretty sure, based on our visual aids for this episode, that he has a nutsack the size of a basketball. Because there's one sequence where he's walking down the hall with Tony Miller, and I swear to God, it's like that meet rodeo clown.
Yeah, his walk.
Stance, like his knees are at 90-degree angles. Like, dude, either go up a size or learn to walk. But
yeah, he's so like splay hipped. He's like almost walks like a pregnant lady. Like it's really just a waddle down.
Wait. I need some visual closure on this. Are you saying he's like walking like he has rickets, or he's walking
kind of?
Okay. So he doesn't have
no.
McDonald's
he's acting like
balls,
he has Don Rickles like in his pants.
Right. He's
I don't
acting
know how
like
with
he.
Walk.
He's acting like he had McDonald's balls and he doesn't want to touch his balls, and this is his solution to dislodge his balls from McDonald's ball itis.
All right. Well, two things. First of all, I'll say it's the walking equivalent of man spreading. If you know what that is.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Second, I will say I think you need to explain what
McDonald's balls are
because I think that's a term you invented.
Yeah. AKA moose knuckles. It's basically when it's guy camel toe.
It's boy camel toe.
Yeah.
Dave refers to it as McDonald's balls because it looks like an upside down
golden
McDonald's
arch.
Logo. The not so golden arch.
Da, 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 yeah. Da, da. Your testicles.
Over 1 billion served.
Oh my God.
1 billion
We're
and
on
two.
Clip two. This is so bad.
We are a little punchy. We should also say, because you were on this trip, that you and I normally are like very, very codependent. And like we had a lot of afternoons where like you were driving and I was alone. And there was like, we have some separation anxiety. I think that like now that we're talking again for the first time since you got back, it's a little emotional. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I was driving through like the Midwest. There was this one hill where there was like a traffic accident. And I was at a stop and there was a lone goat like
yes.
next to a fence chewing plaintively that I seriously considered getting out and putting in the car.
Oh.
It was a long drive and I was without my spouses, all of them. And it was sad.
It was hard.
But it's over now.
But
yay!
It's over now. Here we are to talk about the West Beverly prom of 1993. Okay. In the Blaze office, some juniors named Howard and Toby are blazing in clip number three.
Just cut the copy on the earthquake safety story.
That's my copy.
Yeah, Toby, we're not talking Pulitzer Prize here.
Howard, you wouldn't know a Pulitzer Prize from a prize pullet.
Would you guys just relax? How do you expect to put a paper out every week if you're going to argue about every single layout?
You know, they kind of remind me of you and Brandon.
Let me ask
you. I have a few notes.
Okay, please, because I have a question for Dave when you're done. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, the actress playing Toby, bless her heart, clearly that is such a Catskills-y bazooka joke. Like, she doesn't even pronounce pullet correctly. Like, and I think they finally just gave up. They're like, she doesn't understand the reference. I almost didn't and had to listen to it back like 5 times. Like, what are they, in 4-H? It's Beverly Hills. Second of all, who is still named Howard, but I dated a guy named Howard in high school. Third of all, how do they remind you of you and Brandon when Howard is actually there working
yeah.
and trying to be the co-editor-in-chief instead of acting like nothing at this school has anything to do with him except mm-hmm. if he can be in total charge of it / it involves a girl.
Yeah. That's a good question.
Also, Howard, don't be rude. Okay, go ahead.
Dave, did you recognize, did that voice of the guy in that clip sound?
Just cut the copy on the earthquake safety story.
That's my copy.
Toby, we're not talking.
Okay.
Did it sound, can you recognize his voice at
no.
all? No. That is the same guy who is Scotty Shofar on 30 Rock, the executive producer of Sports Shouting, who takes Liz out to possibly be her executive producer on the Deal Breaker show, and then she sets her sleeve on fire and calls Brooke Hogan a tasty piece of bitch when she calls him in the middle of it. I am crushing it! Yeah. It's Sean Levy, later to be the director of such masterpieces as the Night at the Museum movies, also Dave Real Steel.
Yeah, the best first 7 minutes of a movie in the aughts.
Just Married, which made a doomed couple of Ashton Kutcher and Brittany Murphy. Anyway, Canada's own Sean Levy. Speaking of whom, Brandon enters and immediately reminds us again that he is not fit for his job of being in charge of anything by trying to blow off covering a school board meeting. But since the juniors have actual other stuff going on, he's forced to. Ha ha. In the DJ booth, David invites Brenda to a pre-prom party at his dad's sad condo, I might be paraphrasing, which is awkward for the obvious reasons of dad and condo, but also because Brenda's not planning to go to prom. She leaves, and then David details his plans for this event to Donna in clip number 4.
I'm calling the Bellage today and reserving us a room.
You are?
Oh, yeah. A room with a view, a wet bar, fresh flowers, complimentary fruit basket. And of course, most important, a king-size bed.
Oh, David, I'm really nervous.
Oh, but don't be. You said prom night was our night. It's a night to remember.
I know, but I just need time to think about it, okay? Don't push me.
Oh, I'm not pushing. It's just that, well, you know, a hotel room on prom night at the Bellage is kind of hard to come by.
Well, I'll let you know, okay? I promise.
I feel like there should have been some previous conversation where she said that she was into this, because this seems like it's kind of out of nowhere. Like, it's a big change in her personal policy. No.
Although I can see that does seem like a teenage boy assumption to make.
Right.
That even though she's quote unquote waiting, like, it's prom night and you can probably pretend that while you were putting it in her ass as usual, that you just slipped and did it regular. Huh. Maybe. I don't know anything about this. Yeah, it sucks.
I mean, she is Catholic. So anyway, Kelly and Dylan are trying to convince us that they are really schmoopy about each other as they eat strawberries and make out and talk about prom. He's too cool to get a room at the Bellage, as he tells us in clip number 5.
Come on, Kelly, you got to give me some credit for originality. Now, if I get a room anywhere, it's going to be at the top of Knob Hill, the Fairmont Hotel.
Sure is.
And San Francisco?
Sarah?
I mean, Knob Hill, like, whatever. Such a pinko. Like, there's all these references to Berkeley as well.
Yes.
Sorry, Berkeley graduates. But it's just, like, such a Dylan-y. He's just being Dylan-y. And also, they're just talking with their mouths full and eating this gigantic bowl of strawberries like they're high. And it's just not convincing.
It is weird. Like, it's like someone noticed how they seemed in the last several episodes and were like, these two are supposed to be in love. Like, can they not act like they hate each other's guts? Thanks.
And then Kelly's sort of like, in San Francisco, sort of hopefully, meaning, so you're going to leave and I can stay at prom and enjoy myself with people whose waists are larger than 22 inches.
People
bye.
Who enjoy fun. Yeah. So that is also the first we hear that Dylan's interested in going to Berkeley, but also, like, of course he is. Anyway, at the Walsh house, Cindy is looking at her old yearbook. No one cares. Jim has a whole story about his prom date snagging her dress on a spring in the car seat that everyone has apparently heard a million times, but clip number 6.
But there's one part of the story I left out.
What's that?
The guy I doubled with that night decided that he would try marijuana for the first time. He spent most of the prom in the bathroom trying to convince him that he was not being chased by giant purple bubbles.
So, Dad, did you inhale?
Never mind.
Weed is not acid. Like, even I know that, and I have not done either. I did go to high school, though, so I happen to know that, whatever show. Also, a did you inhale joke in 1993? Come on.
Yeah.
When the subject turns to the twins' prom, Jim comes right to the edge of suggesting that Brenda and Brandon go together. And while the earlier seasons of the show might have made it seem like neither of them would have a problem with that, Brandon is going with his classic plan B, as he tells his parents in clip number 7.
Oh, that's great. Who with?
I'm going to ask Andrea.
Hmm.
Which I guess is somewhat like going with my sister anyway.
Boo.
Wow, that sounds like music, like background music to a Pokemon game or something.
To me, it sounded like the music that plays when you're reading like a book and record set to tell you that it's time to turn the page.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, yeah, she's not your sister. That is rude. Brandon goes to
she's
school.
She's your aunt.
Come on. She's your Nana. Don't you remember when you took her to the track that time? Anyway, Brandon goes to the school board meeting. Andrea's already there because she thought he was going to blow it off. Again, Brandon sucks. Everyone knows it. Not enough is made of this, in my opinion, that she was just like, well, I guess I'll go because he's not going to, but whatever. It's the end of school.
And then she's in the position of having to act embarrassed when he calls her on it. Like, she's not the one at fault here. Nice journalisming.
Yeah. The first item on the agenda is about wardrobe guidelines, and Andrea's on guard because it wasn't actually on the published agenda. So she gets all agitated. Brandon, of course, doesn't give a shit, even though he considers himself a pretty liberal guy, as we've heard. The superintendent, Dr. Epphart, has come armed with an incendiary example of why there needs to be a dress code, wardrobe guidelines in clip number 8.
I was walking down the hall in West Beverly last week. I actually saw a young man wearing a loud yellow T-shirt with a picture on the front of it of a Rastafarian smoking a marijuana cigarette.
Why is the detail that it was yellow important also? Like, it's yellow a known drug color?
Yeah, is that some dog whistle to let us know that this person was African-American?
I don't know. I just find that hilarious. In Jason Priestley's defense for once, the stink face that he makes in reaction to this is pretty hilarious. I made a GIF of it. Please check it out in the visual aids. Dr. Epphart calls for comments, and of course, Felice is first on the mic to support the superintendent's position on discipline and how it will prepare students for the real world. And then Andrea, actually pretty confrontationally for her, asks why this item wasn't on the agenda, about which Dr. Epphart plays dumb, not well, before blowing off Andrea and her concerns about school board transparency. Next up, the prom, clip number 9.
It's been moved and seconded in closed session that all seniors at district high schools be notified that anyone found with liquor or illicit drugs or intoxicated at any school-sponsored function, including prom night, be suspended with all senior privileges revoked, including graduation, pending further hearing by the board.
Was this on the agenda?
Another convenient oversight, I'm sure.
What's going on here?
Well, you don't need to worry. It's not our problem anymore, right?
Okay, the music wants that to be a really big deal, but I just have a question. Why couldn't students then just drink at all the prom after parties like they're fucking going to anyway that are not school events? I'm seriously asking.
They can't because the federal drinking age is 21. Like,
Okay.
This is what I don't understand. Like, this is not a scandal. It is illegal for them to drink. It has been illegal for them to drink, even the 18-year-olds, for, by this point in the show,
like 30 years,
15 years.
Oh, really? I thought it was longer than that.
I think 82.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay.
And at that point, it was like state's discretion. It was usually 18 or 19.
Right.
I think. Whatever. Don't email me. I'm twice that old now, and it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter to me anymore. But this is what I don't get about this. Like, there is no real need to move or second anything of this sort in closed session because this would be a school district rule simply by virtue of being local and state and federal law.
Right.
But there were, I mean, I don't know, there was a period like in the late 80s and early 90s where there was really a lot of like mothers against drunk driving sort of trying to get out in front of this issue.
Right.
And having like post-prom lock-ins and stuff like that. Like you'd all drive down the shore and stay up all night, not drinking and like playing volleyball or whatever. And they would also do this on graduation night. Like I get that this was a serious issue vis-a-vis the driving.
Right.
But like for them to be, for the school board to even be discussing this is ridiculous. And then for the kids to be scandalized by it instead of like laying the groundwork with their parents like crafty teenagers since the beginning of time.
Right.
And everyone's staying over at each other's house and like watering the cutty sark for 2 weeks. This is how it's done.
Yeah.
Co-editor in chief. But I mean, Brandon has to like get a wild hair.
Of course.
Tangled up in his McDonald's balls about something, and this is it.
Dave enjoyed that. So after the meeting, half of the gang is at the Peach Pit on tenterhooks waiting to hear all about it. You know, like you always did after school board meetings with your friends. Kelly is disgusted that the school is going to be a prison next year. Donna correctly guesses that her mom was a huge booster of the oppressive new rules. Apparently, Felice wants to run for mayor, which is hilarious. Nothing ever comes of that, as far as I recall, but that is a great detail. Steve spots Andrea come in and asks whether Brandon's invited her to prom yet. Brandon acts like it's a chore to do it, but off he goes in clip number 10.
Well, I'd like to take you to the prom.
Brandon, that's sweet.
Because, you know, Steve is right. We all got to do this thing together, and we've been friends too long to sit this out.
Brandon, I'm going.
Of course you are. You're going with me, right?
No.
No, you don't understand. I already have a date.
You do?
You?
Hey, Andrea.
But you're so ugly and yucky.
And old and Jordan stupid.
And those glasses. Oh, and those shoes. Where did you get them? JCPenney's? Airplane. Look it up.
Should have known.
Sorry.
No sweat.
Yeah, you should have.
Yeah, they've been seeing each other for a while. It seems pretty obvious that she would be going with Jordan.
Yeah.
This is all very strange, too. However, Jordan, when he walks in, we hear the door jingle. That's him coming into the Peach Pit. And his look is gorgeous.
Oh, my God.
It's in the visual aids. He's in like a knee-length color block. How would you describe? It's not a trench coat. But it's like a zippered long jacket.
It's like a windbreaker, but like T-length.
Yeah, but it's like but canvas. And
yeah.
And he's got like a leather little round, like, you know, multicolored hat on. It's just, I think I, in the docs, in our visual aids, I think I just called it the 90s, which I've done on many pictures of outfits before. But this is really the 90s.
Yeah, but he's still so much better than Brett. It's
oh, yes,
great.
Of course. He's at least he has like style. At least he looked like he thought about what he was wearing. Like he can do that. He can pull it off. Yeah, he's clearly obviously not just a better prom date for Andrea, but a better person, period.
Yeah.
As we all know.
I mean, who isn't? However, mm-hmm. I believe that from this point forward, we never saw him again.
I think that's right. Unless he shows up for graduation, maybe. I haven't watched that episode yet. I can't remember if he shows up like just to say hi or something.
He might do.
Yeah,
I don't
remember. Me too.
I like that guy.
I do too. He was too good for the show. So that night, Felice has a delivery for Donna in clip 11.
I picked your dress up at the tailor. Oh, he wanted me to tell you he hasn't seen a waist this small since Vivian Leigh.
That's fucked up. Half in my notes in all caps. That's fucked up. Like, is that supposed to be a compliment? Because it's fucked up.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I have to say, for however much women's status has crawled backwards of late, cough, abortion rights, cough, this shit would never fly on a show that was made for teenagers today, or any show, frankly. Like, it just, that line would never happen now. So, that's something.
Yeah, true.
Anyway, Donna brings up the meeting. Felice primly says that she feels strongly about the dress code. Of course she does. She would support uniforms.
Go
ahead.
But why doesn't she enforce it in her own home with her only child who has apparently agreed to keep the hymen on lockdown?
Yeah.
Seems like if you can make that a policy and have it stick, which, as it were, good luck.
Yeah.
You can't get her. And the thing is, like, Tori Spelling had a very nice figure and mm-hmm. she wears a lot of tight stuff, but like, sure. It was the style. She looks fine.
Mm-hmm.
But why isn't Felice... Well, whatever. We'll see the weird blind spot that's happening in the next couple episodes.
We really will. In the next episode, there's also a line where she like tells her to go find something dignified to wear. She's buying these clothes and living in your house. You can't, whatever. Anyway, Donna brings up the meeting, the dress code. Felice says she would support uniforms if she thought she could. Donna, by the way, has on a lot of eye makeup for bedtime, which you can see in the visual aids. Felice then says she's very proud of Donna and can't wait to see her in a cap and gown, which is kind of funny considering all the stuff that Donna has said, like, about her behind her back surrounding her learning disability, that, like, they just think she's stupid and that she needs to find a rich man to marry her and take care of her and stuff. Whatever, none of that is brought up. Donna says she almost forgot she's spending the night after prom at Kelly's. Felice, duh, sees through her and tells her she doesn't have to make up stories to get out of curfew. She can stay out as long as she wants because Felice trusts her. Great instincts, Felice. At school the next day, Brandon catches up to Tony to ask what time they're playing poker. But whoops, Tony's decided to ask Brenda and then immediately runs into her walking the halls. By the way, please go to the visual aids to see what she looks like, because she's just walking around scowling with her arms crossed, looking completely miserable, like could not be projecting less talk to me message if she tried, which she seems to be.
It could be because that camel toe is extremely painful.
It could be.
Looks painful.
As you can see in the visual aids. Anyway, for some reason, he sees her looking like this and still wants to go with her in clip number 12.
Look, I'll go all out. Tux, limo, corsage, the whole nine yards.
I don't know.
Let's just go and have a good time. I love to dance.
Yeah? Me too. All right, I'll go with you, Tony.
You will?
All right, I'll go with you, Tony. Oh, great. Sounds like we're going to have a real fun time.
Man, free cutlets. Seriously.
Yeah. Then Donna is telling David that she thought it over, and clip 13.
And I want you to get the best hotel room you can get.
She's awesome.
I just thought that was a cute David moment.
It was cute. And because it was cute, I hope David gets a special fake-out discount. Whoops, spoiler alert. Then elsewhere in the halls, Dylan and Gil are talking about Dylan's plans to meet up with Gil's fucking pink-coat Berkeley friend in clip 14.
I think your writing's incredible, and, well, Berkeley could do a lot worse.
I doubt it.
No, it's not. No, they couldn't. Shut up, Gil. Oh, and by the way, his loaf hair is like, there's many different flavors of loaf this episode, but they're all horrible, and you get some sweet views of the cheesy boots as well. Oh, it's terrible.
He is the worst. And then Gil has AP English class on the lawn, because of course he fucking does, and in a very put upon way reads the warning about the zero tolerance policy on drugs and booze. Andrea, ever the lawyer, asks who's going to be responsible for enforcing the rule, and stupid Gil doesn't even know, but asks them in his capacity as a chaperone not to make him have to bust them, basically. And there's a gif in the visual aids of the three seniors in this class all looking at each other like very worriedly and oppressedly, and like, what? None of you drinks as far as I know, so why do you even care? Whatever.
Yeah, and I don't know. Post-prom.
Right.
Whatever.
Like, are you usually drinking at school events? Like, do you go to pep rallies with a Mickey? Like, what is happening? Anyway.
Look, from a long line of inveterate alcoholics, Cop is going to get into this later, so Let's just move on.
So then it's the day of the prom. Cindy and Brenda come home from shopping. Cindy, you can see in the visual aids, is in, like, a dress. Like, she thinks she's going to a doctor's appointment or something.
I was just going to dress up.
Crazy how dressed up she is to, like, go to a store. Anyway, Jim is complimentary of the dress when Brenda shows it. Curious about Brenda's date.
Maybe it was semi-formal? I'll let myself out.
Brenda has no expectations, and I'm relieved Tony wasn't there to hear her dismiss him in clip number 15.
Not much to tell, Dad. He's a jock. He's a guy. He asked.
Brr. I mean, not like anyone's expecting a love interest here, but still, like, be nice. He asked, and now you get to go, so quit being a bitch about it.
In your tank top.
Yeah, I actually kind of, we'll get to the dress in a minute.
Brenda, I had that dress, I'm just saying.
It's short.
Yeah.
It roll short. Brenda says she hopes that she'll have other nights as special as the spring dance. No, you'll never have another special dance. You're 18, your life is over. Whatever. Kelly and Jackie are packing for San Francisco because, of course, Jackie said yes. And Jackie's in another blouse with another vest dickie. It's in the visual aids.
I know.
They actually have a nice moment as Jackie wishes her a fun night and secretly gets emotional over her shoulder as they hug. It's cute. At the Martin Mance, Donna has Kylie Jennered her lips for the prom. It's in the visual aids. And for some foreshadowing in clip 16.
God, I was so nervous it wouldn't fit. I didn't even eat all day.
Well, then you're going to have David feed you. You're going to pass out before the first dance.
I'll be fine, Mom.
Pass out if you're lucky.
Oh, boy. It's also worth noting that her hair is unbelievable. Like, it doesn't move.
It's so crispy and so hard.
And when there's a couple, this will be in the visual aids, but she, like, bends down, like, she bends her face down and like the whole back just lifts off her neck.
Yeah.
It's like an aquapus dog boy square pants. It's not cute at all.
It's like a yellowy version of Miss Vellum's hair from Powerpuff Girls. That's what it looks like. It's like that, yes. That big and that immobile.
And Brenda also has some crazy snarly flyaway thing happening. Like, it's almost there.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite.
No, and you know that they did it with those bendy pink curlers that were like had the wire in the middle. You know what I'm talking about. Every woman who was alive in the 90s knows what I'm talking about. So Felice says Donna looks like a princess and then gives her a special accessory, the giantest, tackiest crucifix ever. It's so aggressively big. It's in the visual aids, obviously. All the other visual aids are getting sucked into its orbit because that's how big
it is. Fucking chastity beacons, seriously.
It's really ridiculous. Ooh. Donna doesn't think it goes with her plans to puncture her hymen. Just kidding, but not really. and gazes herself at herself with guilt and ambivalence and hypocrisy. Sorry, Jesus. Meanwhile... Next, Mel has the kids over to his condo, which I'm pretty sure has ceilings lower than Jack McKay's yacht. I actually, when I cut a picture of it for the visual aids, which you can see, I was trying to tell if it maybe was the same yacht set because there's like a bar behind them while he's pouring champagne.
Yeah, I feel like they just took out carpeting.
Yes, different carpeting and different... Because on the yacht, it had that big fucking ugly like wallpaper panel behind the bar. And I think they just took that off and were like, yeah, this can be his condo. Who cares? Anyway, check out the visual aids. Tell us if you agree. Mel is serving champagne and he toasts to David and Donna and hopes this will be the first of many celebrations in their lives in their pants. Brandon, the loser, works at the empty peach pit. Nat says he didn't go to his prom either. And he has a story about his prom date blowing him off and she got the flu that I hate to have to care about. Except no sooner has Nat finished telling it than Andrea calls to say that Jordan has the flu and maybe Brandon would like to take her after all. Downgrade for Andrea.
Really?
And then Steve is at Mel's with Celeste. Donna, by the way, at this point is already starting to look a little wobbly. Celeste comes over to introduce herself to Kelly. Okay, so I want to talk about Kelly's look for a minute. Her hair has been subtly colored at some point because it's a little bit more strawberry than normal. And the styling on her hair is perfect. It's like
it is flawless,
curly,
so pretty,
spirally updo. It's
very Grace Kelly. Very beautiful.
Yeah. I have it like from front and back in the visual aids. And her dress is very pretty too. She looks great in white considering how pale she is, but she should have maybe had the bodice tailored because she could fit a Cornish game hen in each of her boob cups, which you can also see in the visual aids. Celeste tells Kelly all the nice things that Steve has said about her, and Kelly can't believe she's breaking a school rule by drinking the champagne, but Steve tells her that she has to because it's prom. And then Brandon and Brenda enter with their dates. Brenda's dress is so short. So short. It's like a metallic sort of that like liquidy, slinky. It's just a tank dress, basically. It barely covers her butt. Like, it is short.
Yeah, that's some Hilton flashing shit right there. And
but she looks great in it, I have to say.
Yeah, she does.
She's got great
legs. Speaking of short, I mean, they couldn't have picked another like semi-regular jock guy who was a little closer to her in height, like maybe Kyle? Because Cudlitz is like a legit non-Hollywood 6'2", mm-hmm. and Doherty is not.
And not only like tall, but he's also like, he's not fat, but he's broad. Like, he's bulky. He's like a barn door. She's like this little tiny sparrow next to him. It's funny. You're right. And I feel like this is just as a historical note. I feel like this was the first I ever saw any prom dresses represented like in pop culture that weren't full length. I feel like this was maybe a turning point for like wearing short dresses to prom. Although maybe I was just behind the times in Niagara on the Lake.
Both of mine were strapless minis.
Oh, all right.
Answer. But jersey.
There's the answer. Just kidding. And considering
Girls
Brandon
school in jersey, I don't know.
Fair enough. Considering that Brandon only came to prom with Andrea as a backup, he is awfully handsy with her, and I have a shot of that in the visual as well. But he's not the only Walsh being rude tonight in clip 17.
You know, I didn't want to say anything in front of your parents or your brother, but that's a hot dress.
Get your mind out of the gutter, Miller.
What'd I say?
Nothing. Come on, let's eat. I'm starved.
You want some champagne?
Sure, what the hell?
That was so much more Doherty than Brenda.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, why not? It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Mm-hmm. It's also a very weird exchange, though, that she's immediately like, I'm not going to fuck you. Yeah, well, and then like, it's like she feels bad, but she doesn't really. It's just a very strange turn of mood in that small moment. But anyway, poor
yeah,
Tony.
This is really where like the concept of the gang is like, first of all, like once Brandon arrives, then like gang business may proceed kind mm-hmm. of thing. Like his attitude was just like, you know, I'm here, we can start.
Yeah.
But this is really where the show starts making it in so many words explicit that this is like the charmed circle and everyone else just wants to be a part of it. And
uh-huh.
I think Brenda's attitude is in the writing and not necessarily...
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, that she's like doing him a favor by letting him hang out with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good observation, I think.
And also Celeste, Jennifer Grant has been directed to act like she's just happy to be nominated. So it's like, all right.
Well. Yeah. She gets cooler later on, I think.
Oh no, I love Celeste. Yeah. I just feel bad for her that she's in the position of, well, we'll get to this, but she's like, go dance with Kelly. I approve.
Like, yeah. Oh. But she's also a little older too, which they don't really like, they don't lean into how much older she is than Steve that much, which is funny because like later she makes a reference to that she went to junior college and dropped out or something. So she's at least a year older than him, if not more. So it would be, I feel like there would be more weirdness about like her going to a prom with a bunch of 18-year-olds if she's like 20. I don't know. Maybe it's not that big a difference, but I feel like it would be for a girl. I guess not. Moving on. Then Brandon is pouring the last of the champagne in clip 18.
You drink it. I don't like champagne that much.
Neither do I. Second thought, maybe I do like champagne. Nope, right the first time. Certainly don't like champagne.
I do. I love champagne.
Good. Here.
Donna.
Excellent journalistic instincts, both of you. Obviously rip shit and weighs 108 pounds.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's been here for like 25 minutes. Like, how many glasses has she already had? Whatever. But also, like, doesn't Brandon always make such a big fucking deal about like how he has no vices? Like, wasn't that the whole thrust of his justification of his gambling problem? Like, I don't drink. Then he drinks anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
Given how much shit we give Andrea, I feel it must be noted for the record that her boobs look fantastic in this halter dress. There is a picture in the visual aids. Everyone tries to walk out without actually saying goodbye to their host and just like yelling their thanks over their shoulders like a bunch of dicks, but he comes out to take a photo as opposed to yell at them for being a bunch of fucking ingrates like I would have. And I would give this to Kelly. As you can see in the visual aids, she would definitely win America's Next Top Model in the way she makes herself the focal point of the photo in a very effortless seeming way. Like, she's right in the center, she's smiling huge, only one in white, she looks great. And then Steve returns to grab the last unopened bottle of champagne for the limo.
Oh, the fatal yoink.
Yup. So in the limo, David doesn't think they should drink on their way to the prom, as we heard up top. Donna agrees, but Steve has a cool older girlfriend to impress and pops the bottle. Donna makes a toast to a night they'll all remember for the rest of their lives and then chugs her glass and presents it for a refill. Yikes.
Atta girl. I mean, that's terrible.
Then they're all at the hotel. Of course, it's at the Bellage, as we heard, the only hotel in Beverly Hills. Bren does this stupid dorky thing on his way in where I can't describe it. It's in the visual aids. This weird like comedy lean, but he's not funny, so it's just obnoxious. They find their table and everyone gets a disposable camera, which was a new thing at the time because it was the 90s.
No.
And some vintage 90s PSAs in clip 19.
What's that? Oh, it's from Drive Alive. They gave us a quarter to call a cab in case you get drunk.
That's great. I'm glad to see someone's being realistic about it.
Just remember, 1 + 1 = 3 unless you use this. Compliments of the math club. It's a condom.
How good is that?
Ah, pretty sexy for the math club, huh?
Okay, that'll sure come in handy for us.
Tom.
I kind of love Donna in this episode. I know it's wrong, but she's like very likable with how dorky she is.
Like, I have to say, this is one department of stuff in which Tori Spelling fucking nails it.
Yeah.
Whatever the reasons for that are, who can say?
Who
just
indeed.
Kidding. We could totally say she was out every night with that Savalas fuck who slapped her around. But at least, you know, like usually the stuff is terrible. And I think you have a note on this at the very end with the drunk stuff. But
yeah,
she is. I mean, some of the writing doesn't seem to understand the arc of being fucked up.
Right.
But she plays it really well. Good for her.
I think so too. Then we cut to the entertainer for the night, who is Kathy Dennis, who was a musical artist at the time. Wow. Her outfit is so it's like there's not much to it. I don't know why it offends me so much, but it does. It's like it's a spaghetti strappy full length like shiny electric blue dress, and then over it a sheer bright orange like button down blouse with like pocket flaps and like long cuffs. It's so weird and incongruous, like there one does not go with the other.
Hair,
yes, it's the same color as her hair.
She's been growing her bangs out, which okay, we've all been there.
Yep.
But like it's parted in the middle and the grown out parts are now like chin length.
Yep.
And they're just hanging there separately, like you at this time in your career could have afforded a stylist to do something with it, like a tiny little claw clip, some gel,
something. Like there were professionals on the set who could have done that for you. Why do you look like
or
this?
Just tuck them?
Yeah, she looks terrible. She looks awful. You can see it in the visual aids and see how right we are. So the dancing starts and Tony catches Brenda mournfully staring at Kelly and Dylan like a fucking creep and calls her on it in clip number 20.
Are you going to spend all night watching us two?
No.
Good. But you deserve a good time too, you know. I'm going to do my damnedest to show you one, but you got to at least help me out here a little.
Thanks, Tony.
Forget those two. Come on, you want to get your picture taken?
Sure,
right now.
Say Lavoie made an appearance at prom. So then we get a prom portrait montage. Donna is wasted. I have a couple of shots of her in the visual aids. One of her like laughing at the photographer making a stupid look at the birdie joke, and then a gif of her like petting David's head behind her back. Like, look how good looking my boyfriend is. Like, she's not even looking at him.
It is literally an I Love Lucy bit.
Yeah,
literally.
But it kind of works. It makes me laugh when I watch.
Then just David's face. Like Brian Austin Green is sucking a lemon for like until the end of this season and until actually like season 7.
Yeah, it's true. Brenda is like ice with Tony. Kelly and Dylan can't stop kissing. We get it. They like each other now. Celeste and Steve are surprised, the best couple. He tells them to think of their grandchildren and they both crack up. They're really cute together. And Brandon manages to be nice and tell Andrea nicely that she looks beautiful and they take a good photo together. Who knew he had it in him? On the dance floor, Donna is pretty obviously not keeping it together. Everyone else just seems to think she's really horny, which is weird. But Dylan can tell that she's wasted. David takes her outside for some fresh air, which as soon as it hits her, apparently makes her sick. Now, is this where alcohol cop wants to take over, Sarah?
Sure. Followed by hotel cop.
Okay.
Spoiler, same person. I don't like, I feel like it's really weird that like there's this sort of life cycle of a drunk, especially champagne drunk, if you haven't eaten anything all day, that it's sort of like this spike where you think everything's funny and you want to take your top off, maybe you read somewhere, and you're like just being a loud young idiot. And then like if you're gonna barf, you don't have time to run through like an entire lobby with symbolic mirrors and whatever. Like if you're already outside, you just find a planter and boot. Like,
yeah,
someone needed to go into that writer's room and be like, I really don't think with the champagne spins that she's going to make it. And then once she's booted, like, that's kind of it.
Right.
And if that's not it, it's a hotel.
Yeah.
It's not legal for them only to have one entrance. Right. Find a back one. You know where they all are. You were stalking Color Me Bad in the same fucking place.
Another question is, she told David to get a room, and presumably he did. So why wouldn't they just take her up to it? I don't know why I've never thought of that before this second.
He put her to bed. I think he gave the key to Brandon.
No, Tony. Tony gave his key to Brandon.
Well, like, a bunch of people have rooms. You can't, like, find set. You're the gang.
Yeah.
People will let you stay in their room and pay for it and have no problem with it, and even let you drink out of the mini bar because you're the gang.
Yeah, they just want you to take a picture with them on their disposable camera so that they can feel cool.
Failing that, she's teeny.
Yeah.
Get her in a fireman's carry and take her out through the kitchen.
Yeah. So many options.
Remember in season one when you all like did this every weekend? Like, where's Marianne Moore to tell you how this shit goes? Anyway, the whole, like, the timing and the way that she is drunk is weird to me. Like, you know, don't bother tweeting at me. I'm sure this could have happened.
Sure, sure.
Except for the part where she's like, I think I'm going to barf. And then, like, 10 minutes later,
she emerges from a maze
of hedgerows, does a tire obstacle course, does the, like, climbs a knotted rope.
Who put this corn maze in the lobby?
And then gets to barf.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I will also say, in support of your barfing thing, we may or may not have mentioned on this podcast, I don't drink. And the reason is that the three times that I tried to, like, in my teens, I got violently ill every time, including, like, regardless of how much or little I drank, like a half a glass of white wine, I would get horribly sick, to the point where I finally was like, this is dumb. I'm not getting any enjoyment out of this. But one of the times that I did it at my parents' house, which, like, they were fine with, they were out of town, but they were winos, so they wouldn't have cared if I had a glass of wine. But I did not make it to our ground floor bathroom and sprayed so much puke everywhere. It was like all over the walls. It's like I'd never been sick before. I was 18, but it was just like, it's exactly like you say, I couldn't control it. And it was a big mess that I then had to clean up because they were out of town. So it's like,
is this red wine?
No, it was white.
Oh, okay, that's good.
So it wasn't as bad, but like, I think, ooh, I had Kraft dinner for supper. Oh. So it's like, it was a bad scene.
Kraft dinner is macaroni and cheese.
Exactly.
For you
Kraft macaroni
that's
and cheese.
That's a pro, ladies and germs.
So
God,
that's
that
why.
Me of my dad had this 7'2" fraternity brother who had been drinking red wine and,
oh God,
like all night and not eaten.
Oh.
And not gotten up from the poker table.
Oh dear.
Managed to, like, realize he was going to hurl. Managed to get to the bathroom, but not only, like, cleat his clock on the doorway, but then, having done that, totally missed everything. And, like, just red wine on the wall, which then dripped down, and that was referred to as painting a mural for the entire fraternity and all their families forevermore. This literally was 15 years ago.
Well, he is my brother spiritually. I feel his pain.
Oh God.
You and me, Trent, I don't know, Frank would be named 50 years ago.
Tom.
Anyway, so getting back to this actual episode, Donna does stagger through the lobby, as Sarah mentioned, and there's a gif in the visual aids of her, like, coming upon a cluster of mirrors or something. Like, we get it. She's on patrol.
But it's like a mirrored... What is it? Even?
I can't even tell what it is. It's like...
It's like a sculpture from the Superman's North Pole lair.
The Fortress of Solitude.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah,
Fortress of Barfitude.
And then she likes she's just staggering. It's so, anyway, it's stupid. Look at the visual aids. After the commercials, Celeste excuses herself to the ladies and tells Steve to dance with Kelly for old time's sake, as Sarah already mentioned. And they do, and it's fine. Like, there really is no old time sake for these two anymore. Who cares? Dylan is trying to get Kelly to leave for San Francisco when Steve cuts in. And then Brenda ends up dancing with Dylan and can't help making it intense and weird in clip 21.
Ugh.
I know this has been a really tough year for you.
Yeah, toughest.
I hope it's the worst you ever know.
Thank you, Brenda.
I guess we're all really going our separate ways now, huh?
Well, I think that's what's supposed to happen.
Then beat it.
You know, I'm almost over you.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Oh, Brenda, where is your dignity? Don't say things like that. Just think them in your head.
Also, Dylan, where are your manners? Yeah, me too. Like, you fucking cheated on her.
Yeah.
Live with the choice.
Yep. But of course, he can't and won't. Kelly then comes into the ladies' room with a cup of coffee for Donna, which, as Jackie's daughter, she should know is the last thing she should be bringing Donna at this moment. She should be giving her water so that Donna can get to sleep. Even I know that. and then Donna has to barf. Brenda comes chirping in, all in a good mood, and Kelly updates her on the situation just to bring her down, I guess. Oh my God. Then Brandon does Andrea the enormous favor of dancing with her in clip 22.
Mm. You're not so bad. You do this more often.
It's all an illusion.
All of it?
No, not all of it. Not the part of me that knows there's nowhere else I'd rather be right now and no one else I'd rather be with. Mm-hmm. All right, that's enough dancing for one lifetime. Come on, let's take a break.
All right, I included that clip for two reasons. One, he's obviously flirting and being very offhand about it in a kind of a dickish way because he knows what he's doing, but he's trying to act like he doesn't. And also that it makes sure we know Brandon doesn't not dance because he sucks at dancing. He's a good dancer. He just chooses not to. Like, why bother introducing this information at this very late date? I don't know.
Who cares?
Who indeed? In the bathroom, Donna doesn't know how much she drank. Brenda and Kelly hold her hair and try to strategize how to get her out of the hotel without anyone finding out she's drunk. So in other words, without anyone seeing, hearing, or smelling her. We've already talked about the ways they could have done this, but didn't.
So many ways.
Yeah.
All the ways. One of those rolling laundry thingies. Anything. Just remembered that way.
Put her under the table, in the banquet room. No one's going to notice her. Wait till everyone leaves. She'll be asleep. The tablecloth will hide her. Come on, people. Then Brandon shows Andrea the hotel room key that Tony gave him, apparently having given up on boning Brenda. Brandon casually proposes that they just go see what a room in the hotel looks like. And then they both have to act like it's not a come on by doing dumb, terrible Elvis impressions, which I didn't
know. Oh, God. That
You're
just
welcome.
Kept going.
Yeah, back and forth. So then Kelly comes out of the bathroom to involve David in this escape plan for Donna.
Finally.
Mm-hmm. Tony's room is very nice. Brandon immediately suggests that they watch a movie or get some room service because now that he's here, he's realized he's made a mistake. And it puts Andrea in a thoughtful mood in clip 23.
How do you like this? The two people least likely to make use of this room end up with it.
Yeah, it is pretty ironic.
Now.
What? What are you thinking?
Maybe we should waste an opportunity like this. I mean, it is our prom. And we're in a beautiful hotel on a big, comfortable bed.
Andre, are you saying what I think you're saying?
I don't know. Am I?
Oh, Nana. Why, Andrea?
It's so awkward. Like, he just said a movie or room service. He doesn't want to fuck you. He just
yeah,
doesn't.
Like, trust me, if he wanted to fuck you, that would already be starting to happen.
Underway, yes.
Is A. B. I was distracted throughout this incredibly awkward scene by the fact that they're just lying directly on top of the jizzy comforter. Like, yeah. I just can't. I know it's a set, but whenever that's happening on TV or the movies, I just can't. That I'm like, peel it off, throw it on the floor, lie on the blanket. I can't.
That's the part they don't wash. We all know this. We've all seen Dateline.
Sorry.
And she's also like playing with a rose. Like she's really, she's working hard, but he is not picking up what she is laying down at all. And you can also see in the visual aids, his look of like, no. Anyway, Gil finds David, Steve, Celeste, and Dylan all loitering outside the ladies' room and either doesn't care how obvious it is that something is amiss or is the world's worst chaperone, which I guess is true either way. Dylan makes a really weird face as Gil walks away, which you can see in the visual aids. I froze it by accident. I had to go back and get it again. It's like this like yeesh face with his lips all stretched out that I thought was like him being like, oh shit, we avoided trouble with Gil leaving, but it's just like him chewing something. It's completely just by chance. It's still hilarious though. So then the girls usher Donna out of the bathroom while the rest of the gang flanks her like Secret Service agents. And Mrs. Teasley passes them, doesn't notice anything's wrong with Donna because the rest of the kids do such a good job of human shielding her, really. But then Donna just collapses and clip 24.
Donna, are you all right?
Hey, Mrs. T, how you doing?
Donna, you're drunk. Do you have any idea what this means?
That I've had too much to drink. She didn't have anything to eat today.
Yeah, and we were just gonna leave with her right now, yeah. Huh?
No. We'll take it from here. Thank you.
David? Am I in trouble?
Just wouldn't say cut.
Yeah,
wouldn't do it.
That's the obviously the very end of the episode. You can see it in the visual aids of her like just like moving around and trying to fill the silence with her drunken antics.
As the lens like zooms in and we'll take it from here.
Yeah, I mean, I
like
assume,
once you've busted her.
Yeah,
what are you? Is there an infirmary? On site? Like,
are you taking her to the hotel brig? Like, yeah, I assume it means
the hotel brig.
They're going to call her parents, like, to make sure that the kids don't take her somewhere, but like, because it is still a school event, so I guess they would be responsible for her, but yeah, it is weird.
I guess, but I mean, she's 18.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I don't even know. It's just a very weird, like, you know, the authorities have been notified, like,
hey. Yeah, you've made a visual assessment like it's, you know, it was before she could have taken video with her camera phone. Like, anyway, whatever.
Yeah, there's the probably end. Like a wayward chunk in Donna's hair nest. And not that proving this comes up even in passing until like minute 27 of next time. But this episode we are done with.
All right. Thanks. Most valuable player of this episode. Oh, it's tough. I'm going to say Kelly because she's like embarrasses herself the least, I think. And she looks beautiful.
Jeez. This is tough because actually no one is really that horrible. Or
except
that.
Donna.
Well,
obviously.
I don't know. I am going to go with Steve.
Yeah, that's fair. He and Celeste, as we already mentioned, are super cute together.
Yes. So, I don't. And Celeste's hair, that is a very 90s hairdo.
Mm-hmm.
Very 90s formal hairdo.
And the dress with those bugle beads, too. That gold thing she has on. All right. Least valuable player. I mean, Donna, but also like with an assist from Mel. Like, don't give them champagne at your pre-prom party. Also, don't throw a pre-prom party. It's weird. You're a parent.
I guess. I don't know. Like, if I were one of the gang, I would have been thrilled. Like, Mel would have been the MVP. Mel, valuable player. I'm going to go with David
Yeah.
Because he doesn't, like, at no point does it seem to occur to him that he has to, like, he's embarrassed by her.
Yeah.
But at no point does it occur to her, like, I need to cut this off and get her out of here now. Plus, he's, like, the last one to arrive at the bathroom. Like, you're going to try to stick it in that. Maybe look out for her.
Yeah. What was he even doing the whole time she was gone? That is also weird.
I don't know. Lint rolling his couch of a jacket. Winning a dance contest. Sucking a lemon. Who knows?
Let's do the movie Parker challenge. Five ways from this episode that Brandon could have ended up dead. Fucked to death by Andrea, potentially because she wanted it bad.
Stabbed in the eye with the stem of her rose, fatally when he refused to succumb to her thirst.
He did have a sip of champagne at Mel's, so I feel like he probably could have found a way to crash the limo even if he wasn't driving it, so that.
But Jim would just fix it for him.
Yeah, true.
Doesn't get that obvious elephantiasis of the everything looked at and dies.
Punched through the head for a stupid did you inhale joke in 1993. So long after that was a thing.
Totally fine with that.
Why should I take a back seat? Because I'm a girl?
You shouldn't. It's time for our excerpt from the I Hate Brenda book, Shannon Doherty Exposed. Here we go. We're still in the chapter that's all shading her for her looks. It's so fucking mean. Shannon has colored her own hair, but has tended toward a natural look very close to her real hair color. And the style, as well as the color, has proven popular as she was voted the star with the best hair in many young teen mags. Her long locks and bold bangs even once graced the cover of Hair Sophisticates.
Ooh!
Hair Sophisticates, you say? USA Today even reported that Shannon's long hair with bangs is the most popular thing on the show next to Jason's and Luke's sideburns. Was there ever a more the 90s sentence? I'll answer that. No, there was not.
No.
All the attention has left Shannon virtually hair obsessed. She just can't figure out how she feels about it. She told People she was stressed out because there are all these Brenda imitators out there who are doing their hair just like me. But then she has also admitted to being flattered. TV Hits reported a hair-raising scene in February of 1993 involving Shannon. She was cast in a public service announcement for AIDS, probably against AIDS, but whatever.
Yeah, raising.
In an area of town not typically traversed by the class-sensitive star. Suddenly, in the middle of shooting, gunshots rang out from a bank that was being robbed. When police closed off the area, Shannon began cursing that she had a hair appointment and how dare they do this to her on her day off. Her hair appointments at Beverly Hills Vidal Sassoon have reportedly been preceded by a 3-page list of her needs, but she dispels any rumors about washing her hair in mineral water. In People, she snorts, like I would ever wash my hair with Evian, in a reference to Kim Basinger, who did because her hair was so damaged from excessive processing. Nice side swipe at Kim Basinger in the middle of this book. For one thing, how do you get your hair totally clean that way? Shannon always raises the important questions in life. End of excerpt.
Oh, speaking of important questions, next time on Again With This, did you think Old Man Spelling's special snowflake would melt on the gang's watch? Think again, because glorious leader Bran Jong-il's on the case. Our visual aides observe the proper pomp and dickum stance of this and all the other 90210 episodes that we've covered on the podcast. You can see those at previously.tv. Follow us on Twitter at PreviouslyTV, and you can follow me, Sarah D. Bunting, at Tomato Nation on Twitter, and my glorious co-host, Tara Ariano, is at Tara Ariano on Twitter. Let's not forget our producer, David T. Cole. He's at Clark on Instagram. See you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoonie.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv podcast network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.